When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Happy New Year.
Go Blue.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Like Tom with an outstanding run. Touchdown Wolverines.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Low snap. Quarterback run up the middle.
Yeah.
He's not going to make
it.
Everything that we went through this entire year, it made us unbreakable.
Today's guests, Pro Football Hall of Famer Charles Woodson, plus latest news and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Oh, yes, it is. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We are live on the Roku channel for the first time since December 23rd. We're back after our vacation time, all charged, ready to roll here in 2024 on this Rich Eisen Show. Terrestrial radio affiliate smart enough to have us, Sirius XM Odyssey and more. We say hello to our podcast listeners and everybody that's making the Overreaction Monday podcast one of the most listened to podcasts out there. Susie Schuster and Amy Trask are going to give you What the Football after their time away is all over. We also have an announcement later on in this program about adding a new podcast for you to listen to on the Rich Eisen Podcast Network. You probably won't believe who are adding to our roster, and that's later on in this program. Hey. So stay tuned for all 3 hours, and we say a happy and healthy to everyone that's out there. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. How are you, sir?
Rich,
good to see you.
I'm not as good as you, but I'm doing well. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Same to you. Jay Felly, good to see you. Is Del Tufo still in Jersey? Is that what's going on?
I have no idea.
Okay. Everything ready.
Very good.
We need a low jack on Del Tufo.
And then look who is reported as eligible for the Rich Eisen Show today. Did you report? I didn't see, or, you know, I didn't see if you, did you report, TJ? Are you officially eligible for the show today?
That was going to be my opening line, but you took
it.
All I can say now
I don't know.
Merry New Year.
Merry New Year.
And I am eligible for the show for today and the rest of 2024 and, you know, going forward.
How about them Cowboys? It was a great moment for Jimmy Johnson for the Ring of Honor, the way he leaned into that phrase as well. Oh, that's the new one. All right. That's the new drop.
Wow.
The first new drop of the new year on the Rich Eisen Show.
I may have had water in my eyes
when
that was all going on.
It was a great moment. Yeah,
whatever.
Only that would be one of the moments we're still talking about from that game. We'll hit that on this show as well. But we lead with this program with what I think everybody knows we're going to be leading with.
The Cowboys?
Nope.
Oh.
Let's start this program with the college football playoff doubleheader that happened on New Year's Day and the awesomeness of college football, despite it taking 19 hours to complete from start to finish. It was a long, long, full day of watching college football. But and it felt a little longer for yours truly sitting in the Rose Bowl with my fam.
I bet.
Sue's and the three kids and my nephew, Jack Schuster.
What up?
Part of it as well. Good old Jack. He was there. We were hanging out with 100,000 other friends, including Stuhl Presidente to my right. Everybody saw me hanging out. By the way, Joel Klatt of Fox Sports right behind me. Oh, yeah. It was a lot of fun.
Just expanding your resume, Rich.
A lot of fun. And just watching Michigan versus Alabama in the Rose Bowl. Just bringing back memories for me because it was in 1990 that I covered my first Rose Bowl for the Greatest Student publication. On college campuses everywhere, if I may say, the Michigan Daily was covering the 1990 Rose Bowl for Michigan. And it turned out to be Bo Schembechler's final game as head coach of the University of Michigan. And I'll never forget that day against USC, Michigan, the 3 yards in a cloud of dust, Bo Schembechler calling a fake punt with minutes to go to keep Michigan on the field. And it works to perfection. Bo Schembechler, talk about a breaking of tendencies, calling a fake punt. And it worked only until there was a holding penalty called on Bobby Abrams, who played in the NFL for a while, including for the New York Football Giants. And it was a weird ticky-tack penalty that Bo Schembechler blew a famous gasket on and got a 15-yard unsportsmanlike conduct penalty thrown on him because he threw his headset so hard, he nearly fell and cartwheeled over ass over tea kettle on that one. And it was just an introduction for me in Rose Bowls that I covered, was physically there for, and just in general, more often than not, Michigan in bowl games, like last year's Fiesta Bowl, weird stuff happens. Some of it self-inflicted. You know, like last year against TCU, starting off and J.J. McCarthy gets it down on the 1 yard line and they call some weird trick play that causes them to lose yardage. They go for it anyway and come away with no points. And that started off a day where Michigan had touchdowns taken off the board by replay, only to fumble it the next play. Weird stuff happens. And as long as Michigan could avoid the weird stuff, I thought they had a chance to beat Alabama. And guess what happened in the game? Starting off weird stuff. The first play looked perfect to me. I had a perfect angle of it. Michigan was coming towards me, and J.J. McCarthy had wide-open receivers, and he held onto the ball for some reason too long and threw it late right to an Alabama defender. First play of the game, an interception.
That's so weird.
But thankfully, the Alabama defender was out of bounds and illegally touched the ball, and replay corrected it, only to have Michigan punt the ball away, play well defensively, and then fumble the ensuing punt themselves. Weird stuff was happening. And I'm like, oh, God, weird stuff is happening. Like a 15-yard penalty for a block for one of the Michigan players, I guess, hitting an Alabama player with his helmet. That blew up a drive. Then weird stuff like missing an extra point because the snap got rolled back. A missed field goal because there was a high snap. A flea flicker that didn't work. Let me just leave it at that. Fumbles and mistakes that Michigan hadn't made all year long. And I'm like, here we go. And just like the Alabama win over Auburn, where Milroe didn't look good for much of the game, just hang in there and then start making plays and take the lead. And that's what Alabama did. And I guess the Michigan versus everybody hashtag bet Wolverines then came out. And that's what I was hoping for. That's what I was banking on. That's what everybody in Michigan world was thinking, that maybe this team is different. And even though the first several quarters of mistake and mistake and mistake that was tearing down what appeared to be some really ingenious play calling in the first half that Nick Saban must have sniffed out in the locker room because that third quarter was all Alabama. And then Michigan changed the, if you will, wait for it, tie. with a drive for the ages, where Harbaugh went for it on 4th and 2 in his own end with 4 minutes to go. And I love the decision. I thought to myself, that's a major problem normally. But maybe they'll just come up with a play call and go for it because I didn't want them to punt it back. I didn't think they'd get another possession out of it the way that sometimes Milroe was running with the ball when he actually got a decent snap to him. That fourth down play, Blake Corums comes out of the flat and he was wide open. It's because the Wolverines were scheming their heads off with motions and different formations and ways that we hadn't seen in the third quarter and the ways that they clearly spent the 4 weeks leading up to the game trying to come up with stuff that Alabama didn't see. Corum didn't come out of the backfield very much at all season long to catch passes. He did here. And Roman Wilson came up with the play of his life two plays after another mistake of pushing an Alabama defender in the back when Michigan was driving down the field. I honestly thought when J.J. McCarthy let that pass go and Roman Wilson went up to get it, it was intercepted. That's the way it looked. And he not only grabbed that ball and high-pointed it, but gained about 10 more yards after it. Wound up scoring the touchdown two plays later. We go to overtime. And in that overtime, Michigan scored first and got a major break. One last bad snap at Jalen Milroe's feet on fourth down. And I think he panicked a little bit and decided to take it himself rather than go through with the play, which looked like it was going out to the flat. And Michigan actually wins the football game. I couldn't believe it. Right there in front of me, it was glorious. It was. And I understand Michigan is viewed nationally as a bunch of cheaters and is viewed nationally as a team that is not deserving of a lot of the kudos being thrown their way. And there's a large number of people that don't see it the way that I do. I totally get it. But for me, this is truly one of the greatest days of my entire life. And I had, because, you know, Susie was there. My three kids were there. Michigan's name was painted in an end zone that I saw with my own two eyes painted there on when I was a senior covering the team. And for this team to keep doing what they are doing and to keep on going the way that they are going and keep on facing adversity, much of it, you know, in many ways, I get it, self-inflicted. For them to keep doing what they are doing and going to the national championship game to take on a Washington team that is feeling the same way as Michigan, that they are a team of destiny, that they have everything going for themselves, for them to make it to this national championship game at the Rose Bowl and the beautiful Rose Bowl, the greatest place to watch a college football playoff game. It was unbelievable for me. I will never forget it. It was one of the greatest days of my entire life, and I cannot say it enough. I couldn't believe what I was seeing in front of me, that this team overcame all the mistakes and overcame all of the adversity from this year to get to where they are. It's the greatest. And I can't be taken down a single peg or a single notch. It is exactly what I never thought would happen, certainly a few years ago, the way that this program was going. So to Jim Harbaugh and J.J. McCarthy and Blake Corum and that defense, my God, unbelievable. Spectacular.
Congrats, man.
Thank you. I appreciate you saying that. I got a ton of texts from people as if I played.
Eisenpalooza.
Yeah, was that? It was Eisenpalooza. Thank you, Coach. Thank you, Coach. And meanwhile, Washington comes into the national championship game with an insanely talented offense. You could say best offense in college football. You say that?
Ooh, yeah, I think so.
Could you say that? You got a Heisman Trophy candidate quarterback in Michael Penix Jr., who, by the way, has beaten Michigan before as a member of Indiana football. And the way that he is playing, the receivers that he's playing with, could you make a case that the receivers he's playing with would make a ton of NFL teams better right now?
Yes. Roma Dunze could start this weekend.
Right.
For the Houston
Texans.
Yes.
In a playoff game for them this coming week.
No doubt.
Against the Colts.
No doubt.
He's going to be playing in the home of the Texans, right? They feel as destined as Michigan does. They're 14-0 also. How about getting a national championship game of two 14-0 teams going at it? And this is an old school Rose Bowl matchup and a future Big Ten conference matchup. And Texas damn near pulled it off. I just want to say this because, again, you know, obviously there was so much going on in this football game. But do you think Steve Sarkisian would want the play calling back at the end of that game? I honestly thought when they got that first down out of what could have been viewed as with the Texas running back grabbing the ball and kind of
He had the fingertips on it. He was trying to secure it a little bit while getting the 1 foot dead.
But that was one of those that if it was called incomplete on the field,
it would have stayed incomplete.
Correct. Right. But it was called complete on the field and yes. It stayed that way. I think exactly. That's what it was.
Yep.
But that just gave Texas what appeared to be enough time for 4 shots at the end zone because of the way that Washington, for whatever reason, didn't take knees, kept handing the football off, and an injury caused the clock to stop. And gave an extra timeout to Texas, and they used it to their advantage. And I thought they had enough time for 4 shots at the end zone with one of the most remarkable 50-50 pass catchers we've seen in college football over the last 3 years. Adonai Mitchell, who they showed in the broadcast, had a touchdown pass now in 5 straight college football playoff games because he played for Georgia the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. And he had a touchdown in every single one of Georgia's playoff victories in their back-to-back championship seasons. I thought they were going to throw at least 2 50-50 balls in his direction. The first one went out in the flat. What the hell for?
It's like a little.
We're trying to gain 2-3 more yards? And if he was tackled in the field of play,
game over.
Game is over.
Yeah.
I didn't understand that one at all. And I'm sitting there at home in the very rare position. It was the first time for me. It was a first for me. To be sitting there wondering, which team would I rather play in the national championship?
Right.
Never, honestly, I felt like I needed oxygen. I was like on the top of Mount Olympus. My head was, I was feeling a little bit groggy, needing oxygen. And I thought to myself, seeing all those dudes in their cowboy hats and their neckerchiefs and screaming with Bevo, oh my God, I don't want to face that team at Houston. And so here comes Washington against Michigan. And I can't wait for that. We'll be talking about it all week long. One last thing on this. Much said about the college football playoff committee and the 4 teams that they chose for the semifinals that we saw play out yesterday. And we watched Georgia set a new record for largest margin of victory in the history of college football bowl games. Breaking the 58-point mark they set last year in whooping TCU just up the road from us here for the national championship game. It was 58 last year. It's now 60. And I'm sitting there watching Florida State thinking to myself, well, they're missing all these folks who decided to transfer portal out because they're like, I'm not sticking around at a spot that's undefeated and doesn't get a shot at the college football playoffs, even though there's 8 more teams coming in next year. That makes much sense. But then again, that's their world. I don't know what's going on there. If that was part of the decision for a bunch of people to hit the portal or for them to basically say, we're not playing, which is going to be a larger issue for any team that doesn't make the playoffs. And for the bowl season, the most wonderful time of the year that people are wringing their hands over, no longer being as significant as it used to be. And that's just the way the cookie now crumbles in college football. So for whatever reason, you know, Florida State was missing all those people, and that may be a reason why they lost by 60. In the same way that I'm hearing from Columbus, Ohio, people talking about, well, this guy wasn't playing, that guy wasn't playing, and that's why we didn't score a single touchdown against Missouri. But even though Georgia was attempting to make a statement, I have to say, can't really argue at the end of the day with what the College Football Playoff Committee came up with. If the metric is, in fact, we need competition, we want watchable competition, we want exciting competition, and we want, if we could have one of the 2 games come down to the last snap, we'll take that.
Right.
How does both games coming down to the last snap try that one on for size? That's what happened.
Pretty good. Kind of nailed it.
That's what happened. One in overtime and one at the end of regulation. Last snap college football playoff action. So you just got to revisit the conversation from a month ago and say, I guess they got it right. I guess they got it right. Had Georgia made it, had Georgia beaten Alabama, You know, I think Michigan would have played Washington yesterday instead of a week from now.
Right, that would have been the 2-3.
That would have been the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, that would have been the 2-3 Rose Bowl matchup, right.
And Georgia would have taken on Florida State in the Sugar Bowl.
They would have played Texas.
They would have played Texas, right?
Yeah.
So Florida State would have been out at the expense of Texas?
I think Florida State was out, okay. Kind of regardless. Yeah.
Well, you got to give it up because both of those games were incredible. All right, now one last thing. Sitting at the Rose Bowl, I got a 12-year-old on my right named Cooper Eisen, who watched with dismay, and he was complaining about it. And it's not because he hears his dad complain about it. But every single time there was a timeout on the field, he was looking at this dude who has a clock on a stick. The stick is as tall as the human. And on top of the stick is a red LED clock that lights up with the amount of time, the commercial break that they're about to take, how long it lasts. And the number of times that we saw that dude with the stick hop out on the field and the three-digit number started with a 3. He was like, another timeout. Another timeout. Another time. It would be score, timeout, kickoff, timeout. Next series, injury, timeout. It's just, how can you play football that way where you're constantly stopping? And at what point do you have to say, we're just not going to dig into the trough with both fists and actually keep the play going? That momentum in a game is as important as digging with both hands into Dr. Pepper's pocket. And I guess fans don't care that the game ended in the Sugar Bowl at 1 in the morning Eastern time.
Very late.
1 in the morning. Yeah.
Very late.
So, yeah, college football playoff committee, you got it right, and it came down to the last snap. Who the hell saw it on the East Coast?
Some diehards. That's about it.
Dude.
Yeah, Albert Breer tweeted that out, Rich. He said, score, commercial, kickoff, commercial, next possession.
It's
starts.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal.
You know what you do? You just tell Dr. Pepper, we'll take 75% of your money, and what we'll do is we'll take a 30-second break, and we are going to give you a border over the commercial break. Yeah. So on the left side, you're going to keep it here. People will see what's going on at the stadium, and on the right side is your commercial. And then we'll give you a border on top of it so you can put your logo and sell it to whatever. And the people, you know, that sort of stuff can go for $500,000, $1 million. How about doing that? And putting the kids back on the field and playing football. All right. But today's a moment of happiness for me. I need to relive that. Truly the greatest day of my life.
Usa.
You have honestly, children, and I know, but they were born and they were there with me. They were born and they were there with me. My wedding. I married her. She was there with me. Wearing my T-shirt, the first T-shirt I bought in the Michigan Moe's bookstore in 1986.
And Susie was wearing it?
Yes.
Oh, that's kind of dope, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's dope.
The shirt that I wore out to midfield as being the honorary captain on the day Chris Brockman watched me black out. Oof. Or the day after I spoke to the team. That gear that sure. I wore to the coin flip out to the middle of the field. Zan was wearing it. Oh. My oldest son was wearing it. You know, my daughter, Taylor, we were sitting to my left, Coop to my right, my nephew to his right, David Portnoy to his right.
Prez.
The Prez wound up on his Twitter feed. All right. I could go on and on and on. I'm a happy guy. It's unbelievable. I can't believe it's happened. It's the greatest. And I want to talk about it with everybody out there. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. But when we come back, we talk about another team that plays football in the state of Michigan, the Detroit Lions, and what happened to them and what they did to make it worse. I'll be straight up. And how that may be the greatest thing to happen to the Dallas Cowboys in quite some time.
We needed it.
And you got it. And that's next. And still to come, also, Bill Belichick speaking on his future, Jim Harbaugh speaking on his future, overreaction Monday on a Tuesday in your future. That's all coming up with Charles Woodson in Hour 3. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's Ibotta in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN. All right. Apparently, there's team coverage of my reaction to Michigan winning. Sue sent this video to Hoskins, so roll it. Here we go. It's Zan. There's Jack. There's Coop. I couldn't believe it. All right. See, there's Portnoy over there.
He's wearing that bright yellow jacket.
See, that's Zan. That's what I was wearing to the out to halftime.
I've seen that picture.
2016, yeah. Was that when we went there, Chris?
Yeah.
Wow. 16. Now, 8 years ago.
Dude,
it was unreal.
Place, man.
Oh, the Rose Bowl is.
Well, it was
there.
Alabama on that side. You could see the red and you could see where most of the maize and the blue is, right?
Do you guys know the official attendance from last night?
No, it had to have been 100.
It was close to it, if not that, but there you go. That's right. Yeah.
Let's see.
How much of this did she shoot? Oh, my God.
You're not going to drop an F bomb, right?
No.
I'm not sure if I said
come on, I'm there with
not.
My children, bro.
Yeah, we're on Roku.
Joe Klatt was right behind us.
We're on Roku. Cursing's technically
that's true.
Fine.
That's true. I'm on fire! Nice. Okay, there you have it.
Drop happy. Man.
Now the Portnoy angle. Do we have that? By the way, my phone's blowing up saying you're on the Barstool feed.
You were.
Words that have never happened to me before. Well, that's not true. I've been on Pardon My Take a couple times.
Yeah. It's fine.
All right. Yeah, that's it. I sent this to LaJuan before the game, saying, where are you, man?
Yeah, he was just at home, right?
Huh?
Taylor was just at home.
Yeah, well, he was too busy.
Oh.
That's what he said. I'm like, what, you're not hopping on Trump's jet to get out here?
Wow.
That's what I said to him. He said Spirit Airlines. I'm like, you're the one who put Spirit in it.
Wow.
But no, he said he's on First Take today. He's doing a lot.
Oh, LaJuan is?
Because Taylor's blowing up.
Yeah.
But, you know, now Portnoy could afford the motor and the bus.
He can.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. So I'm walking through the parking lot at the Rose Bowl, walking into the game. And
long walk.
The number of Michigan Wolverine fans that stopped me or in passing, just as drive-bys, if you will, as they were walking to their gate in an opposite direction, the number of them from that large subset of Michigan Wolverine Detroit Lion fans that they would say to me, Rich, we got screwed. Are you going to talk about it? And I'm like, I've talked about it, but I'm more than happy to talk about it when we come back on the show. You're going to talk about the officiating, Rich? We got screwed? Let me just say this. First of all, the Detroit Lions got screwed. That happened. Brad Allen got confused. You could say the Lions confused the official as much as they were trying to confuse the Cowboys. Should Brad Allen be confused? The answer to that is no. The head ref has got a white hat for a reason, because he should not be confused. He should not be caught up in the craziness of a moment. And trust me, you can be on the field if you're there for like the first time. It took me a few years standing on a sideline to not be confused by a lot. I'll never forget the first Super Bowl I covered, 21 Super Bowls ago, standing in the end zone of where the national championship game is next week.
That's right.
Watching the Patriots go away from me, away from my end zone against the Carolina Panthers defense in that Super Bowl. Every time Brady let go of the football, I thought it was going to be intercepted. And every single time a Patriot receiver came and caught it exactly where Brady was throwing it. It took me a few of those attempts to realize, oh, this is on purpose. Brady knows exactly where he's throwing it. It's confusing. After a while, though, it shouldn't be confusing anymore. And when you're an official in the NFL and you got a bunch of people coming up at you saying, I'm reporting, I'm not reporting, you should just take a beat, figure it out, get it all done. Wait a minute. Who's reporting? Oh, Dan Skipper, large number 70, is reported to me as eligible multiple times this game. You're just running at me and maybe even making a motion, but you're not saying anything. And wait a minute, Decker, you just came up to me and said you're reporting. How many of you guys are reporting? Wait, Panay Sewell standing here? Are you reporting? It's not the official's job to ask who's reporting. They're supposed to report. The official's supposed to take in that information, then get it straight. Number of times that I get confused just, you know, in just daily life, talking to Suze, my kids, contractors, maybe. Like, wait a minute. So you're just telling me something. Am I getting this right? Because it's going to cost me money if I get this wrong, or it's going to cost me, you know, an argument. I don't need it. I know I don't need the grief that's coming. Brad Allen just looked at Skipper and it looked like he's just like, oh, okay. So, and he even said to the pool reporter after the game, oh, he reported to me multiple times in the game. Did he just assume Dan Skipper was the one reporting? You're not supposed to assume. And so he apparently told the Cowboys number 70 is eligible. And he lined up, you know, in a spot.
Ineligible.
Well, no, the way that he lined up, he was ineligible.
Yeah.
Because, but the way that they lined up was to have Taylor Decker eligible.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So the way that they said they reported and I do believe reported to Brad Allen, they nailed the execution of this to a T, the phrase and the hand movement that Dan Campbell used in his postgame press conference Saturday. He nailed it. They nailed it to a T, and to the point also of them trying to confuse the Cowboys by running up multiple linemen to Brad Allen. As Dan Campbell said in his Monday press conference, New Year's Day press conference, that was part of their plan, was to confuse any Cowboys who didn't hear from Brad Allen, because as soon as he ran away from the rest of the Lions talking to him, because he immediately told the Cowboys number 70 is eligible. And in case the Cowboys didn't hear that, some of the defenders didn't hear that, or didn't hear him get on his belt mic to the rest of the Jones Mahal to say who's eligible, maybe they would miss that. That's what Campbell said after at his press conference Monday. Check it out.
It's about eligibility. That's what it's about. And it has nothing to do with the ref. The ref knows. He knows because 68 reported. It's for the defense so that they see three different people, and you're just hoping they happen to not hear that it's 70. That's all.
Problem is they did such a good job. Brad Allen didn't hear it. Because I think he just assumed it was 70 because he told the pool reporter, he reported to me as eligible twice. I guess he just assumed here he comes again. Now then, that might be a reason why Taylor Decker was so damn wide open. They didn't think he was eligible.
Yeah, exactly. He wasn't the guy who he was listed, exactly. So that's why he was let go.
It could be entirely possible that that's what happened, which means it's on Brad Allen. He screwed it up. Because the way the Lions lined up, it was perfect. They nailed it. Now then, when you look in the rule book, is there a rule that says you must still go for two when you're at the 7-yard line?
Hold on a second. I have a notebook over here.
TJ has a script.
Hey, man, I love Dan Campbell. I chose Dan Campbell as my coach of the year candidate going into the season. I tweeted out Saturday morning thinking about it because I did my top five most intriguing matchups of the week, you know, on vacation and posted it on YouTube. And as soon as we hit it up there, I'm like, damn it, I didn't even think about this until Saturday morning. So I said it on X, Twitter, that, hey, Jimmy Johnson's finally going in the Ring of Honor tonight. Mm-hmm. Troy Aikman's in the booth. And you know Jerry Jones, I'm paraphrasing, there's over 280 characters already. You know Jerry Jones is going to have every living Cowboy legend that's willing to come or in the area back.
Everybody was there.
It was
there,
like,
man,
a night at the Cowboys Museum. All of the museum artifacts were alive. Mm-hmm. They were there. And this was a pure, perfect recipe for a Dan Campbell Lions era pelt on the wall type win. And despite giving up 227 yards to CeeDee Lamb, and despite having that spectacle at halftime, and it was awesome, and Jimmy Johnson nailed his speech, and I loved how he leaned in to Irv and Emmett to nail that, how about them Cowboys?
How about them Cowboys?
To end his speech.
It was good.
Was pitch perfect.
It was good.
And then Lions came out and had a terrific third quarter. And I'm like, this is it. They're going to do it. Even with CeeDee Lamb going nuts. And I thought, this is it. They're going to do it. Because Mike McCarthy, for some unknown reason, on 2nd and 14, says throw it. And Dak, for some reason, doesn't take the sack, which would have been better than him airmailing it out of bounds at the pylon. Mm-hmm. Once that happened, he gave the Lions an extra timeout and an extra 40 seconds that they did, in fact, use to get down the field and score the touchdown to put them in the position to go for two, which is what Dan Campbell said he told the team prior to them taking the field for that touchdown drive. And for some reason, he said, because he told the team that, they were going to do it, no matter what.
By the way, if you notice, Troy called that, I think, on Dallas's third down. He said, if the Lions get the ball back and they score, they're going for two.
Like, because CeeDee Lamb couldn't be stopped. And yeah. I don't blame him for going to, for the first two-point conversion attempt, I have no problem with that.
No.
Certainly, if you've got a play that you have executed and you believe you've told the officials before the game, this is going to happen. And again, it's not the official's job to say, oh, okay, so this is the play that you told us about before the game. You're going to use it right now? Because that's not their job.
No.
Their job is to take in this information and maybe understand what's happening in the moment, and certainly to know who's reporting is eligible and not, and get that straight before a snap is had. That's for sure. But it's not their job to say, oh, so you talked about it before. This is the moment? Okay, we'll just be your dupes to try and dupe the Cowboys. That's not their job. So I don't have a problem for that two-point conversion. I couldn't believe he went for it from the 7-yard line. And then they got Micah Parsons offside, and it's a free play.
And he came and get mad.
And I had to explain to my kids, the reason why it's on the 3.5 is it's because it's half the distance to the goal.
Right.
I thought they should put it back at the 2, to be straight up with you. Like, forget half the distance. Like, this is a 2-point conversion. Maybe you go look at that. But again, as you know, I'm not on the competition committee. So, yeah, from the 3.5-yard line, I'm like, does he still go for it again? Had they kicked the extra point from the 7-yard line, you could have gone into overtime, maybe scored, gotten the ball first, right down the field again,
and
the game's over.
Right.
And we're not talking about Brad Allen today. As a matter of fact, we're talking about how incredible the Saturday night game was and how incredible the Monday night games in college football were. And we're talking about Jimmy Johnson's amazing press conference I mean, halftime ceremony. Instead, we're talking about Brad Allen, and rightfully so. I don't know how this guy referees another game this year, straight up. And I don't, I don't think I'm going to get fined. Honestly,
well, Schefter did report that that crew has been downgraded. They're not doing a playoff game.
Well, then the league should come out and say why.
Yeah.
Because trust me, every Lions fan that passed me in a parking lot at the Rose Bowl deserves that sort of explanation from the National Football League. But
now, can I bring something up?
Hold on a second. But one last thing. Don't give up 227 yards to CeeDee Lamb. Mm-hmm. Don't do that. That's for starters. Figure out how to bracket 88 a little bit. Don't do that. Don't throw two interceptions, including one with 2 minutes to go, which, by the way, again, Mike McCarthy only took 10 seconds off the clock after that. Don't do that. The Lions did not play perfect enough to overcome an officiating mistake from Brad Allen and then made decisions after that that just leave my head scratching. But it's just only going to make the Lions stronger, by the way. This was Dan Campbell again on Monday. Spectacular. I just love this guy. Go ahead and hit it.
I woke up yesterday. I'm ready, man. I've got controlled fury, and I'm ready to go. We're not going to feel sorry for ourselves and Walter and everything. We had plays to make. We didn't make them. And it's a tight game, a good opponent, playoff-type atmosphere, and you got to make that one extra play that we didn't. And so we will use this as fuel. I got pure octane right now. I woke up. I'm ready. So we're moving forward.
Pure octane. They're going to need it because it looks like the Rams are going to come into their house with Matthew Stafford on super wild card weekend. And if they get past that and the Cowboys can get past maybe Green Bay.
Looks like that.
I mean, old school Packers at Cowboys on super wild card weekend. McCarthy. Guess what? It looks like the Lions are going to have to walk back into their house again because of the way the results broke on that game and the way that the Cardinals went 2-0 in the state of Pennsylvania this year. Doing to the Eagles what they did to the Steelers a few weeks ago. So, didn't help that the Lions kept going for two and didn't make it. Certainly didn't help that the Eagles then lost to the Arizona Cardinals to make this result even that much more important, where we're still talking about Brad Allen, not only today, but potentially on divisional playoff weekend when the Lions have to stroll back into that house again and do it one more time, which they're fully capable of doing. That's the way everything broke from Saturday night all the way to the minute Kyler Murray and the Cardinals and James Conner came up with the win in Philadelphia, which is now a Cowboys win at the Commanders away from having to go on the road and take on maybe the Bucks, who, despite getting smoked, they got New Orleans sainted, which is what Brady's got to be sitting at home. Rick Dalton, Jeff pointing at the screen going, I noticed that when the Saints do that to the Bucks. The Bucks are still a win in Carolina and in from scenario from hosting what looks like the Eagles. By the way, Jalen Hurts' first career playoff game lost to Tom Brady in that building. So wild, wild sequence from Saturday night all the way to Sunday in Philadelphia. We'll take a break. We'll take some phone calls. I'll then ask you what you want to say, TJ. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Don't go anywhere. So much to talk about. It's just us until Charles Woodson joins us top of hour three. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
I'm kind of even going through my Twitter feed on the break here because my computer here is a little bit behind my phone and whatever. Mm-hmm. So I'm seeing a lot of the stuff from the Rose Bowl, you know, for the first time during the break here.
Beautiful day, too.
Dude, you see J.J. Watt said it's the greatest turf he's ever stepped on in 34 years.
Yeah,
it just, let me just.
It looked a little slippery, to be honest.
Well, you know what? It's California. I mean, when the sun goes down,
it gets a little
It got cold in the stadium. It's science.
Science.
Condensation. You know what I mean?
I feel you.
And both teams started slipping when the sun went down. And that's just, again, let me just say this.
It's a good song.
May I cape for the Rose Bowl, please? Because it's a quarterfinal next year, and I don't know if they're in the semifinal or final mix.
It's a quarterfinal.
Yes.
They're interesting.
Because I think what they want to do is keep it on, or at least the TV folks want to keep it on New Year's Day. I don't know. Or I think that the semifinals and the finals are a financial buy. Like the stadium's got to buy their way in. And I don't know if the Rose Bowl is, you know, it competes with a lot of these other conferences or facilities. I don't know the way it works.
Yeah, the Rose Bowl is going to be on Wednesday, January 1st next year. Quarterfinal.
By the way, for a quarterfinal, okay. But, hey, do not forget the Rose Bowl for a semifinal or a final. Every time a big game happens, remember Georgia and Oklahoma a couple years ago? That went to overtime, too.
We were there. That was six years ago.
I mean,
triple overtime.
It is the spot. It starts in the sunlight. It ends in the darkness. Right. You watch the mountains change colors. It is a perfect sight lines. There's a field. There's the seats. That's it. And everything else around it. There's no greater place than the Rose Bowl. Keep it in mind, please. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. What did you want to say about the Cowboys?
Oh, well, you know, getting back to the whole thing that happened. Right at the two-minute mark, Peyton Hendershot gets called for a tripping penalty.
That Aiden Hutchinson actually had.
That Tony Pollard gets an 8-yard gain. It was Hutchinson, like you said, who actually threw his leg out. The penalty should have been called on the Lions. Yeah. And so instead of a 2nd and 8, it turns into a 1st and 25. If that is called properly, then none of that matters. The refs got that call just blatantly wrong. And also, that's just the biggest thing. But also, you just kept saying they can't stop CeeDee Lamb. There's going to be 23 seconds left with a timeout. Brandon Aubrey, he's good from about 66 yards.
That's possible.
It's possible. But but none of that matters if they don't call that penalty on Peyton.
By the way,
that's just.
Let me just say one last thing on this, dude. The ascension of CeeDee Lamb.
Oh, baby, yeah.
Is he the best receiver in the NFL? Because, again, Justin Jefferson had an injury-marred year. Seriously, straight up.
You should say that, Rich. I almost did an overreaction topic about that.
I don't think that's an overreaction.
I feel as
he's unstoppable. And McCarthy puts him in a slot. He puts him everywhere. Yeah. He put him in the backfield a few times.
Loved it.
He has been incredible. Mm-hmm. And what he has done for the Dallas Cowboys when everyone, you know, again, Amari Cooper, who is going to have a certain piece of Michigan apparel sent his way to Cleveland soon. Mm-hmm. We were saying, hey, Dallas made a mistake letting him go.
I still think we made a mistake,
and I understand why you would say that, because Cleveland fans are like, thank you. and he is that good. He is that guy. But CeeDee Lamb has ascended.
Both of them, though, Rich.
He is unstoppable. He's unguardable. He is truly, I think, the best receiver in the game. And I know I'm talking about Tyreek Hill, too. I'm serious here. Certainly, we're in that number, too. There's a certain pressure that comes with it. And this offense needs him to be number one, and he has ascended with that pressure on him.
Absolutely.
It needs to be pointed out. You know, and he's from start to finish all year long, he's stayed healthy, he has answered the bell, and he's killing it. And this guy, now that he's going to play football games at home in the playoffs, holy cow, what a huge end result. Because Dallas at home and on the road are two different teams. Mm-hmm. Period. End of story. And it appears the only spot that they're going to have to go to in order to make the Super Bowl that's not Dallas is San Francisco. And maybe somebody picks them off and Dallas just stays at home all the way through the NFC playoffs.
God, if you listen.
I mean, that is another aspect of what happened Saturday night that may come home to roost. Certainly the way CeeDee Lamb is playing football and the way the defense starts rallying around the football at home as opposed to on the road. So wanted to point that out. Appreciate you bringing that up. Uber ZJ here in Los Angeles, first in, first up. What's up?
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, what's going on, Uber ZJ?
Hey. Good to talk to you again, Rich.
Same here.
I don't even know what to say, man. I'm so happy for you and for all of us Michigan fans, man. I mean, what do they have to say now? What can anybody say?
Well, there's a lot of people that could say whatever they want, but you and I obviously are lockstep in believing that everything that happened over the season has been asked, answered, and suspensions have been served. And last night, a team had 4 weeks to prepare for Alabama, and Alabama had 4 weeks to prepare for Michigan, and Michigan appeared to be more prepared. And they were coming up with tendency breakers and motions and all sorts of stuff I hadn't seen all year long. And that's a credit to Harbaugh and Sharon Moore and Jesse Minter, whose defense locked down Alabama for quite a bit.
Absolutely. And all the experts, I don't remember many people other than Dez picking Michigan to win. Everybody picked against them, and I was confident that Michigan was going to win. I actually had tickets, but I was very under the weather, so I didn't end up making it. But, I mean, it was just as sweet, and I got to see you on the Barstool feed. And I'm just so happy. I'm just so happy, man. I mean, from the OH knowers to the, you know, from the SECers who always want to, you know, put down the Big Ten, and even just the general haters. What's up, Brockman? Everybody voting against.
I got you.
Everybody was picking against Michigan. It really is Michigan versus everybody. And just real quick, shout out to TJ. You're my guy. Even though you're a Cowboys fan, I love you, man. You're my guy.
All right, what up, man?
There we go.
I appreciate you.
Thank you, Uber ZJ. You drive around safe and give me 5 stars if ever I get in your car, please. There you go. There's Uber ZJ.
I like him.
I understand everybody's thinking the everybody against Michigan is because Michigan had a staffer that hired a bunch of people to shoot video of other people's sidelines.
By the way, did you see who was at the game yesterday?
Was Connor Snellings there? Was he there?
He was.
Well, he deserved to be there.
Dude.
He?
I don't know if his phone was at the game.
Nice. Whatever.
Check it before he walked in.
Whatever. This is over. That had nothing to do with yesterday at all. And the coverage of the catapult scandal that is absolutely out there that needs to be addressed, this app that has everybody watching game film on. And, you know, it came again. They say they haven't been hacked. I totally believe it. Then fine. But Alabama saying we're not watching. One Alabama player says in a press conference, we're not watching film on our iPad. And everyone says, oh, it's because they're afraid Michigan's on it. Michigan hasn't been on their iPads either. A bunch of teams aren't on their iPads anymore because they believe that there's something hanky going on these devices. But let's all talk about how it's Michigan. Fine. Because these kids believe it is everybody against them, and I love it. One more game. Use that. Whatever you can use, whatever fuel you can use to fire up that fire even more, do it. Fantastic. Hour two coming up. Please keep it going. All of them. Because Washington believes they are a team of destiny too. And it's two 14-0 teams who believe this is their year. Nobody's going to stop them. Both have quarterbacks that the team believes in fully. Both have coaches that are locked in and staff have locked in. Both have dynamite players that I'm going to be talking about in Indianapolis and Detroit next year at the combine and the draft. Anything that you can use as a leg up, use it. And right now, Michigan players believe they are the villains and they are loving it. And I am still getting used to being the villain. It's tough. Again, you got to tell me how that feels, Chris.
It's,
you got to tell me how it feels.
It's not tough. It's the greatest feeling
okay,
ever.
Great.
Come to the dark side.
I'm there. Because you lived there in all those years, everybody thought that that Deflategate was because, you know, it's to the benefit of the Patriots.
Yeah.
And Videogate was the benefit of the Patriots. And you forfeited this and forfeited
that. Hold on
that.
A second.
There's
I can't hear you.
Spatters.
Let me take the
There's
rings out of my ears.
There's six spatters in Gillette. Yeah. I want one in the big house. Period, end of story, because yesterday it was about beating Alabama and out-coaching Nick Saban, and it sure looked like Michigan accomplished that mission. Oh, this feels so great. I don't know how to handle it.